what we found with just this brief overview that our research colleagues did earlier this year was that there's lots of evidence and reasons for concern about Malta and corruption. So just to give you a couple of examples of what we found in official reports is, you know, evidence of conflicts of interest among government officials and parliamentarians, political appointments, contracts being made with family members, so public officials giving contracts to family members. So the picture that emerges from this report is really quite concerning, right?
That basically seems to substantiate what the journalist Daphne Caruana Galizia was talking about. She was part of the so-called Panama Papers team, published a lot on her blog about corruption and political ties to finance and organised crime. What other kinds of things was she writing about?
The thing that really, you know, has hit hard for people working in this field, the journalists, and we've also been working a bit with the Panama Papers data, is that we all knew who she was, you know, and Daphne Caruana Galizia had only her blog. So it's amazing the reach that she had, even I would say globally, among people who work on these issues of corruption, because a lot of the things that she was highlighting were not so much to do with Malta. She was actually pointing her finger at some deep gaps in the EU and in the global financial system. So I'll give you just one example. I don't know if you're aware that if you have 650,000 euros, you can buy Maltese citizenship. So they actually have a scheme where it's allowed to, if you invest in the country, it comes automatically with EU citizenship, which is hugely attractive. And the most recent data shows that over 1,000 people have taken advantage of these, many of them coming from Russia and Asian countries, which are known to be high-risk corruption. And these are the kind of things that she was pointing her fingers at and that obviously were making people very, very uncomfortable.
Apart from those wider issues, she was also talking about Maltese politics. I think just half an hour before she died, she'd posted something about one politician, and she was also known to be a strong critic of Malta's current Prime Minister, Joseph Muscat, from the Labour Party. Her son has since been reported that he called the island a mafia state. Is there any evidence for those kinds of allegations?
Evidence is a really, really, really high bar, but I think there are many, many reasons for concern. I mean, we were talking before about all of these reports of politicians doing business with family members and different kinds of deals being made. And what's important to remember is that, you know, when politicians are doing deals, they're not doing their jobs, which is to, you know, develop the country and also to prevent corruption and crime. So clearly the focus of the government has not been enough on stopping corruption, and in some parts of it, it has actively been participating in this corruption and crime. So this tragic case from yesterday just reinforces this risk, right?
Is it fair to say that if she wasn't protected adequately by the authorities, despite having received threats, then her death in some way lies in political hands?
I think there's definitely an element of, at the very least, indirect responsibility, and also not because of the government and the authorities not giving her protection with the recent death threats. That's just the short term. In the longer term, if you allow corruption and crime to flourish and you don't take action for years, it leads to this atmosphere where this kind of crime can happen, so far with impunity. So the least we can hope for is that there's a serious investigation by the authorities. And let's not forget, this is an EU country. The EU authorities also have a role to play here, if not directly in putting pressure about this specific crime, in putting pressure on the Maltese authorities to take serious action about corruption in general.
How dangerous would you say it is to work as a journalist in Malta?
Well, based on the evidence from this case, it seems to have become dramatically more dangerous than was previously perceived. I think until 2 or 3 days ago, Malta, as far as I understand, did not really register as a high-risk country for journalists, despite the odd threat. But this dramatically changes, I think, the perceptions and the awareness and the danger of sort of deep penetration by organized crime into the country, which is clearly becoming much more of an issue.
You talked about deep penetration of organized crime. We're used to hearing the mafia in linked to Italy, but how strong is a mafia presence in Malta?
Well, there are certainly serious elements for concern there. One of them is online gambling, which is an area that Daphne Caruana Galizia was investigating, so which is known to have strong links to money laundering and some mafia involvement. As we were saying, the Golden Visa or this citizenship for scale scheme also tends to attract or has a high risk of corruption, and is also, each of these businesses involves hundreds of millions of euros, which in a small society undoubtedly gives a lot of power and is very attractive to criminal elements. So all the elements of risk, or many of them, are certainly there.
In Italy, of course, the mafia has often been linked to politics and power. How linked or not is it in Malta, do we think?
Well, if you think about, you know, the combination of the weakness of many of the laws in Malta. So, for example, the fact that politicians are still able to have private jobs on the side while they are still working in parliament. And if you think about the lack of anti-corruption legislation and how limited the enforcement is, and at the same time you look at all of these evidence, high-risk sectors for criminality, undoubtedly they're starting to be, or they already are, very strong bonds and networks being built between politics, business and crime in the country. So all of the evidence is pointing towards really, really deep links.